Good morning, everyone. Welcome to CRCT second quarter 2017 result briefing. We'll welcome our CEO, Tan Sze Wee, to make a presentation. Then we'll have a Q&A session with the panelists later. Sze Wee?
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thanks, Tong Yan. Let me just quickly run you through the results for the second quarter. I think we have made the release. I suppose you have some time to look at it. So I'll just take you through very quickly on the key highlights. Okay, you're very familiar with this slide. I won't elaborate. I think for the second quarter, our gross revenue has improved 18.2%, largely due to the acquisition of CapitaMall Xingnan last year. You start to see the new acquisition contributing as planned. If you look at the NPI, we have grown 16.3%. Some of the effect has been negated by some of the Beijing's property tax basis change that happened in the last year's third quarter when it first started. So you see the year-on-year, there's a slight dip. On the first half, gross revenue up 15.7% and NPI similar. If you roll down to the distributable income for this quarter, we are up 4.7% and translate down 0.8% for DPU growth. I think CRCT, we have always messaged that our portfolio is relatively resilient, so you start to see that our results displaying all these attributes. Occupancy remains high at 96.2%, and for this quarter, our portfolio rental reversion is still at a positive of 7.2%. Meanwhile, at the capital management side of things, our gearing stands at 35.3%, and the average cost at a 2.44%, which is still very competitive. There's a chunk of loans that we took for the acquisition last year that's due this year. So for 2017, substantially all the refinancing have already been secured and done. So for the 300 million bridge term loan that's been secured, as well as the 75 million term loan expiring in December. So both of these have been done. Overall, our borrowings are fixed on fixed rate basis of 87.4%, and our hedging policy for the non-RMB loans, we continue to hedge at 50%. For this quarter, we have also made an announcement. I think I'll talk a bit more about this. We actually unlocked the value of Anzen, which is our oldest master lease mall in the portfolio. And at the same time, as a bundle deal consideration, we managed to extract some anchor space recovery at Wang Jing, which is our second largest property that we actively manage and can value add in Beijing. I'll quickly run through the detailed line item. I think this is already been discussed. At the distribution yield basis on the closing of 161 yesterday, we're at 6.5% annual DPU yield. Continuing from the last few quarters, where we wanted to let you have a better sense of the property tax change impact to our running business. So we also flashed similarly for this quarter. You can see that if you strip out the one-off property tax change, our NPI for this quarter would have grown 23.7%, and at the DPU level, a 9.6%. This is the first half number. I won't elaborate too much on the detailed line items. Similarly, for the one half, if you were to put back the property tax impact, the first half NPI would have been 23%, 23.2%, and at DPU level at 10% growth. Balance sheet on the June, I think for this quarter, you will see the assets held for sale as a classification. That's primarily for the Anzen, both at the asset level as well as at the liabilities level. Our NAV stands at 158. We will continue for this quarter the distribution reinvestment plan, I think what we have observed, especially among the retail investors, is that we start to see increasing awareness and acceptance of this scheme for them to pick up new units. So we'll continue to encourage this policy. And this is the timeline for the book closure, as well as the announcement of the issue price, as well as the distribution date on 20 September. So for this half, we are declaring 5.36 cents. This is the breakdown of the revenue headline numbers into the respective segments of the multi-tenanted malls, our master leased portfolio, as well as the two malls still under stabilization. You can see that the actively managed master leased multi-tenanted malls are growing at a healthy of 21.9%. This is at the NPI level, in terms of percentage points, slightly negated by the bulky Beijing portfolio of the property tax. This is the one half numbers for revenue and NPI. I talked a little bit about this one just now. So if you look at it in terms of the maturity profile, 2017, the bulk of the pink has already been refinanced further out to 2020 and beyond. So if you look at the average term to maturity standing at balance sheet date now is about 1.47 years, but if we were to consider that being done, you roll it closer to the 3-year average maturity. 100% of our assets today are unencumbered, and the interest coverage as well as the net debt EBITDA ratios are still at a healthy range. Our yields are still relatively strong, as you can see from the comparatively of the other investment instruments. For this quarter, I think the average occupancy, this is the valuation for half year. We did a valuation. You can see the per square meter on the extreme right hand side. I would say that our per square meter valuation probably still on the conservative side, because we actually require the valuer to do on a discounted DCF method as well as the income method. So most of these valuation, you tend to see that they track the NPI growth potential. If you look at the passing yield today, our portfolio is at about, for the multi-tenanted malls, you can scroll down. And if you look down, the whole portfolio is about 6.2% on average. The occupancy on the extreme right, you can see that for the first segment of the portfolio, they're still at a healthy range. As we speak today, I think the Qibao is slightly at 92, but we are also renewing one of the upper levels, upper level floors. So that being done, I think will add another few percentage points to the occupancy. Ming Tong Le Yuan, there's a slight dip. I think we'll talk a little bit more in the slides later. Wuhu, there's a slight pickup. I think after the food court that we've opened in level one that we have guided you in the last quarter. This is the rental reversion numbers. If you look at the breakdown of the malls, I would say the pillar assets in our portfolio are still having strong reversion. You can see in settlement for this quarter, we actually have 35 leases occupying about 3,000 over square meters at 11%. I think this is a good rate. All in all, I think for second quarter, we have actively managed the leases up for renewal of 158 at a 7.1%. You can look through the numbers for the various assets. Ming Tong Le Yuan, the number is slightly off a lower base, so don't be too alarmed by the big percentage points, but it's off a lower base and also quite a small number for this quarter. This is the first half number. If you could recall that in the first quarter we announced, I think there's a slight dip in Grand Canyon Mall due to one strategic lease initiative that we brought in at level one. So if you were to remove that one, the number should be slightly better than what you see over here. You move it to 6.1%. This is the expiry profile for the remaining of 2017. Pretty well spread. I think most of the hard work has been done for the various malls except for Mingzhong Leyuan due to a lot of short-term leases that we signed last year intentionally to observe some of these trading patterns and also some of the tenants that we brought in, whether they are suitable. So there's still substantial work for us in the remaining 2017. This is the expiry profile by year. No major variations to our steady portfolio. In terms of shopper traffic for this quarter, we have a 7.3% on a portfolio basis, and our first half is 7.5% growth. Tenant sales are still, I would say, healthy. There's a portfolio level growing at close to 2% for this quarter and 2.2% for the first half. This quarter we announced today the divestment of Capital Mall Anzen, a very mature asset. If you look through the land lease expiry, this is probably the oldest and the nearest to its life. So I think we took opportunity for this aging asset where we don't really have room for growth. At the same time, we unlocked the cash value. And at the same time, we structure as a package consideration to take back space from Wang Jing. So Wang Jing is a mall that you've already seen that we have started rejuvenating it since 2015 to 2016. So continuing that process, we're going to take back space, and I think that will be another catalyst for us to drive growth in Wang Jing. The target completion is about end 2017. I think the divestment gain is approximately 154 million in RMB terms. And the proceeds will ensure that the REIT has more financial flexibility for us to pursue growth opportunities. Okay, I've talked a little bit about this one. We expect to take back the level 4 space starting from fourth quarter of this year. And I think we'll do a little bit of landlord specifications upgrade and do the leasing. And we expect that this new zone will start contributing income from the second quarter of 2018 onwards. This space, if you look at the Wang Jing's NLA, today we have almost 50% that is given to the anchor. This is from day one in 2006. So by doing this move, we actually add more lettable area for us as manager to value add and inject more offerings of more popular offerings that will then attract more shoppers. I think we have lack of space for the longest time. So I think this is a good move for us to have new area to display all this. And at the same time, we also restructure the existing department store that continue to occupy level 1 to 3. I think the current format is a little bit dated, so we want to also encourage and motivate them to upgrade to a higher format that's more commensurate with what Wang Jing's positioning is like. So I think all these moves, you start to see the benefits flowing in for Wang Jing in the years to come. We have also opened the UR work in Wang Jing in June. I think it's to very good positive response. I think UR Works HQ is based in Beijing, so you can see the traction. The committed occupancy is close to 90% now. And the kind of tenant profile is exactly what we want. We wanted for them to bring in a new kind of shopper footfall to our mall. And I think there's a lot of vibrancy and retail startups, companies that I think there will be a lot of spin-offs that will bring to Wang Jing as we welcome them. In Mingzhong Leyuan, I think in the second quarter, the cinema, which has been renovating and also expanding in terms of the number of screens, have started to open, and also to good response. We continue to monitor the performance and will actively promote the activities in conjunction with the other mall events. At Xingnan, which is the latest acquisition we closed last year, I think there were a few short-term space for renewal that we identified. So this quarter, we managed to execute and reconfigured two units on level 4 into smaller formats that's more popular at the malls today. And through doing this, we also managed to increase the rental for that zone. So we look forward to this new F&B's opening this quarter. I think just a quick summary. I think at the start of the year, we messaged that I think center to all this is the value creation for this portfolio and the three-prong approach. I think you have started to see on the left-hand side how we decide to optimize the portfolio. I think the strategic acquisition will continue. I think we started on a good track last year. We managed to unlock one asset this year. And I think the market is getting more active, so we want to be able to take opportunities. On the proactive asset management front, you can see that we have already started building more stronger relationships with a new kind of retail model, the UR Works being one, and we continue to fine-tune the tenant mix and enhance the operation efficiency. This, you already start to see the results flowing in for Capital Mall Sing Nan. And we continue for the cities that we have a strong cluster presence and strong management team. You can see Xizhimen and Wangjing being the two pillar assets of Beijing continue to drive growth and be the beachhead for us to launch many new concepts. And behind that, together with our sponsor, with the Capital Star member platform, I think we continue to grow the shopper stickiness. By knowing them better, they come to our malls more frequently. The asset enhancement strategies, we are continuing to see that being done at Qibao, at Wuhu. So these are the things that we want to strengthen the operating competitiveness of our mall. I think with that, I will wrap up my presentation for the morning and probably leave some time for us to have a more detailed conversation on some of the topics that are of interest to you. All right, thank you. Hello, can you hear? Okay.
Two questions from me. First, do you intend to distribute any of the proceeds from the divestment? And the second, could you talk a little bit about the dip in occupancy at Min Zhong Le Yuan?
I think the expected completion for Anzen is towards the end of this year. So we'll review this probably towards the end of the year during the completion time. If you look at the DPU, or rather the contribution from Anzen, currently is about slightly under 10%. But if you look at the divestment gain, we have enough in terms of topping up. So I think we'll review it when time comes. On the second question on Min Zhong Le Yuan, as I mentioned earlier, most of the leases that we signed last year at the towards the opening are shorter term leases. And if you can recall, Min Zhong Le Yuan used to be very heavily orientated towards those sole proprietors. That means those small shops that the mums and pups used to have. What we've observed during this period of time, especially in the last 2-3 years of closure in the operating environment, I think the Wuhan market has also evolved quite a fair bit. So some of these tenants, my observation is that they may lose a little bit of competitive power. So there is some natural attrition that I would say, and it's also the manager's conscious effort that we want to reduce a little bit of exposure to these people. So that explains a little bit of the leases expiring on a natural attrition, and we are taking time to replace them with the stronger quality chain retailers. So that probably explains the period end slight dip in the occupancy. I think for the second half of this year, I think Min Zhong Le Yuan will see a lot of thoughts being put into the mall to see how to reposition it so that I can strengthen it in the next 2-3 years runway. So there will be slightly balance between whether we want to look at occupancy per se or we want to bring in tenancies that we think would make Ming Song Le Wen stronger in the next couple of years.
Hi, this is Wi-Fi from UBS. So I have two questions. For the space in Wangjing to be vacated by BHG, what kind of rent reversion do you expect to achieve upon releasing? Second question is also on Wangjing. You mentioned that you will also revamp the remaining 3 floors owned by BHG, occupied by BHG. Is that going to impact your rental income?
On the first question, I think we made a presentation. I think if you look at the current passing rent for BHG occupying level 4, vis-a-vis after taking back and then re-leasing it to the specialty trades, I think we expect it to grow at least more than 50%, if I recall correctly. So in terms of the whole zone contributing rental income, that number should be at least 50 to 60%. There will be a slight downtime naturally for us as a landlord to do the capex and also to do the lease up. So between fourth quarter and next quarter next year, there will be a slight dip probably from that 4,000 square meters per se. Yeah. On the remaining level 1 to level 3, we actually have restructured quite favorably the current terms. If you recall, the terms that we entered into with the anchors was way back in 2006. So most of the rent terms then and now. So we took opportunity to reset certain parameters that will give us a better chance to enjoy upside. And some of the growth per annum, if you look at the anchors that was secured last time, it's like growing at about 5 years. Then we do a step up of 5%. So it's a very slow incremental. So we actually brought and shortened the step up. So you start to see a little bit of this positive impact flowing into Wangjing that will help to probably negate a little bit of the downtime during quarter four to first quarter next year. Yeah. They will continue to be there. And we will structure in stages of how they are going to do the renovation. Yeah, we are not likely to do like a shutdown kind of thing, but more so space it out in terms of what to do first and what to do next, so that the mall as a whole is still trading in a better environment. Yeah.
Hi, Mervin from DBS. Just in terms of this portfolio reconstitution strategy. I guess historically you have this master lease for income stability. Just wondering your thoughts whether it's something that you want to continue or you want to move towards a more multi-tenanted portfolio. And then the second question is for BHG itself, other malls, whether you can do something similar in terms of taking back space or restructuring the leases. And then finally, Woohoo, any updates in terms of how you plan to turn it around? Thanks.
Okay. I think for the portfolio reconstitution, like you correctly mentioned, I think when we first seed the portfolio for a REIT, we want to strike a good balance between master lease, which gives us income stability, as well as the multi-tenanted ones where we can manage. If you look at today, we have 11 assets. 3 are master lease. At the same time, while we hold on to the master lease asset, we are always exploring ways to see whether we can have possibility to do some asset enhancement. And by doing so, how does the landlord as well as the master lease tenant can share some of the upside? I think various conversations have taken place over the years. I think for Anton's case, we probably have reviewed carefully and we felt that with the remaining lease duration coming very closely, and the possibility of us really doing something big at that place is probably limited. So that drives our thinking why we want to unlock this value.
And bearing in mind that this asset is already in operations for more than 20 years, increasingly the landlord burden of capital expenditures will come in, especially if you look at today's stricter code of running a mall. So all this without any income growth. So I think that probably drives our decision thinking why we choose to unlock value. At the same time, why we decided to start with Wangjing is for the very reason that BHG occupies 50% of Wangjing today, which is not, not a fair mix of the anchor ratio. So this is probably the first step of why we decide to do that. As for other malls, I would review it holistically, but we do not see other malls having this kind of heavy ratios for the time being. On your question whether would we pursue multi-tenanted malls or master lease malls, I think the space is open for us, but as manager, we want to be able to actively manage and value add to the portfolio under our management. For master lease, I would say that we cannot demonstrate too much of that capability. So I think the natural thinking would be to hunt for more growth potential type of malls. Malls that as manager, we can have cross synergy in managing. We can ride on CapitaLand's bigger platform, and we also to work with retailers to grow our network. So being an active manager, I think the choices are there, but our preferences is quite clear. For Wuhu's case, if you look at this quarter, you start to see the occupancy slightly improve. This is part of our plan this year to lease out level one first. I think there's a bit of momentum coming in after the level one has been leased out. You start to see level two and level three's occupancy slightly moving up. The next stage of work is for us to zoom in on the higher floor, which is level four. I expect there will be some improvement come end of the year to ramp up the occupancy.
Yeah. Hi, Zui, it's Wincy from DBS. I have three questions. The first one is with regards of the reversions at Xi Jinping and Saihan. I want to ask about the trade categories that have been renewed out of these leases and the term signed before and after. The second question is on renewal for Minzhong Leyuan as well. I think I just want to make sure that my understanding is correct based on what you said just now, that Minzhong Leyuan has signed a lot of short-term leases last year, and that was a result of it's a big chunk of renewal this year, or are we replacing the existing trades with new tenants which lead to this big chunk of renewal? The last question is more about, in view of future growth possibilities, what would be a comfortable gearing range? Thank you.
I think for gearing, we are currently at 35%. I think for REIT, we are guided by the 45% limit. I would say a fair, comfortable range would be closer, from 35 to 40. This is something that I think, as a REIT manager, we are very comfortable with that. If we need to take opportunity, I think the short-term gearing can probably go a little bit higher. Yeah, but I think on a stable basis, we prefer it to be 40 and below. For Minzhong Leyuan, on your queries about the leases, I think there's a conscious effort for us to reduce the kind of exposure we have to all these old tenants. A lot of them have been there for a long time. Today, I recall it's about 70% of the areas are leased to all these very dated sole proprietors. Some of them have a niche in that marketplace, and the people who go to them to purchase things, I think, has also moved on with age. So we want to make sure that as the mall, after revamping, we also want to make sure that it's very competitive and relevant in that new environment. So going forward, but the mall itself do not have the luxury of a lot of area. The net lettable is only like 20 plus thousand square meters. So we have to be very niche and find out for ourselves which zones we probably continue to retain a little bit of the old flavor which zones will add a little bit of the newer flavor. So I think this is being played out. The property manager on the ground is evaluating what are some of the newer options that they can bring to the mall. And I think this requires a little bit of time for the plan to set in. So I expect Mingzhong Le Yuan's occupancy for second half to go through a little bit of this, what I call it, the frictional vacancies, where we need some downtime to phase out people, to rejig a little bit of the space before the new people can come in. So I think there will be a slight of this going on for Mingzhong Le Yuan, which you already see in second quarter. But overall, by the year end, the occupancy should stabilize at higher than today. The first question on the Caesarman rental reversion, your request is to understand the breakdown of the trade categories, or I think it's a mixed bag. If you look at the whole 35 leases, maybe Pauline, you can help me on that. Some of the leases are from the F&B, some of them are from the fashion, some of our different trades. Different trades, typically they have different lease structure. By and large, we are still reverting for smaller space for fashion accessories at about 2 to 3 years. For the bigger F&Bs, it's probably 4 to 5 for F&B. Typically, they have a heavy capex upfront, so maybe 5 years is the market benchmark for lease structures with them. In terms of the numbers of leases that we have reverted, I think there's a range. It's very hard to give a specific number to it. Yeah. If I can share a little bit more info with you. Yeah.
Hey, hi, Zoe. Just a couple of questions. Can you sort of guide us on how you see DLP versus a gearing? Because assuming that you pay down your debt using 100% of the sales proceeds from Anjun, right, it could go down to about 28-29%, and you're still looking at doing DLP. Are you implying that we could see some acquisitions over the next 6 to 12 months?
I think the Anjun proceeds will help to lower our gearing to a much lower level than current. That will allow us that headroom to really take opportunities and capitalize. Because some of the time, you look at the deals in the marketplace, we need to execute with a little bit of speed and certainty. So I think having a good headroom for that help us on that basis. On the DRP, I think internally we do have some guidance that at which point we probably may review this policy. I would safely say that we have not reached that point. So, but I think as a policy, we also want to be seen that, you know, we are longer term. I think this policy is given for the very fact that we want to we want to encourage retail investors who see long term holdings in CRCT to continue to have channels for them to increase their unit holdings without having to go through all these transactional costs. So I think that policy has started in 2013 and has continued to now. And I think during our conversations with them, the feedback that I get is most of them are actually quite receptive, and the awareness has also been increasing. So I would say that as a policy, we may not want to be seen like to time it, as you know, for this quarter I give, for next quarter I may not. So I think the policy remains. I would just say that the gearing level has not reached that point where we need to revisit this. Not yet. Yeah.
Okay. Another follow-up question. Can you probably let us know, like, how do you balance out the valuation that you divested Anjun against the spot valuations that we're seeing in the market? Because, I mean, I think Beijing, you're looking at about anywhere from 40,000 to 60,000 per square meters on GRA, but you're selling at 26,000. And how do you compare that against getting that 4,700 square meters back from BHG? Yeah.
I think if you look at the valuation per square meter for Anzen, I think there are a few considerations we have in mind. First of all, I think you have to appreciate and recognize that this is a master lease that's locked in with the master lease tenant. So the availability of potential buyers of such property, already there's a, I think there's a limit to that. Today we are master leasing it to them on the full title GFA. Any potential person who come in, buy it, and would like to run it as a shopping mall, I think the area would not be this level. And I think there will be a lot of efficiency being taken up. So if you look at these two things together, on a per square meter, on the full title area, that number may look lower than what you think, but that two considerations do play a part. On top of that, anybody who wants to acquire this property have to invest heavily on capex. Ourselves, we have managed to release ourselves from that burden of putting in the heavy capex. So this is another consideration. If we were to attribute some of the value that we have managed to extract much earlier in Wangjing, rather than being locked into 2026, we have actually brought forward almost 10 years of that 4,007 space. If you attribute that together, I would say on the per square meter, you bring it very close to 30,000. So I think that's how we look at the whole thing. Yeah.
Thanks.
Hi, it's Wi-Fi again. Just now you said that the market is getting a bit more active. Does that mean that there's a lot more opportunities for you to acquire now? And which cities are you looking at? And what kind of asking yield?
I think it's a common fact. I think in the last half a year, there are more activity in the marketplace. You also see that there are some change of hands of transactions. For CR City, we are focused on the few cities that we have always been strong at, together with our sponsors platform. If you look at the tier one cities today, for CR City, we are in Beijing and in Shanghai, and we are pretty heavy in Beijing. Beijing continues to be our strong foothold. So if anything that comes out in Beijing, I'll be able to make decisions fairly quickly because we know the market very well. We have a big platform and team resources. We have a lot of synergies to be extracted in that marketplace. So Beijing is definitely one city that we look at. If you look at the other potential tier one and tier two cities that CRCT may look at, last year we went into Chengdu. So I think Chengdu continues to be a very promising market, and as well as anything around that region, and also we can ride on the sponsors platform. If you look at other tier one cities that we are not in today, Shenzhen and Guangzhou, I would probably think that Guangzhou is a city that we probably is easier for us rather than Shenzhen, given the kind of opportunities. Other tier 1.5 cities like Wuhan, like Chengdu, Chongqing, these are all potential cities that we are looking at. If you look at our whole portfolio, we would still want to make sure that the quality of the retail malls are skewed more towards the 1 and 2 rather than the 3 and 4, yeah.
And what kind of asking yield would you be looking at, given that your exit yield for Anchen is about 5.8%?
This one has to be looked at in totality. You have to look at totality. I think the entry yield is one dimension that we look at. Equally important is what we see in terms of the potential upside after it comes in. I think we are looking at coming in within 2 to 3 years, like the first year rent cycle, we can move the entry yield to a level that is more commensurate with our passing and our implied property yield. Today, our implied property yield is slightly a shade under 6 or that 6 hurdle. If you manage to find a quality one, I think you can allow that space for us to move it up. And whether the funding structure, I think that also play in a part, whether you can redeploy your proceeds efficiently. So incoming is just one dimension, but importantly is to have that upside. Yeah.
Hi, from the Business Times. I wanted to understand more about how's the state of retail in China right now, especially in tier 1 to 2 cities, and and how does it stand in terms of like online e-commerce coming in, how is it facing up to disruption?
I think the retail market in China is probably the most healthy you can see. If you look at the top line retail sales index, it's still growing at more than 10%. I think the underpinning all this is actually the urbanization, and as well as the rising disposable income, the wage increase of all this population. I think there's a big movement of this into China. So I think in terms of the retail sales, the pillars supporting it are very strong fundamentally. The online and offline, I think you will have read a lot about it. I think China is probably the market that's very, very dynamic. I think there is a lot of space for us to create both online and offline. I think several years ago, people will feel that each is mutually exclusive. But I think in the last 1 year, people have come to realize that you should not look at this retail space as if it's either or. I think a lot is about the players knowing the customers' preferences, how to connect with them, and how to channel their spending and their time. Physical retail malls, I would say, still have a lot of relevant in China's space, because I think Chinese like to come out and socialize. They like to have dining. They like to have meeting of people. And I think with their kind of family nucleus, they also like to bring their family out to shopping malls to mingle. So what the online can provide to all these people, I think the offline can similarly value add in other aspects as well. So you start to see people putting in more effort into this kind of hardware technology, infrastructure, create experiences, create engagement, create services. So these are things that will continue to make the physical part of things still very relevant. So that's something as active managers on the ground, we always want to know what's happening and what's evolving, and then we constantly refurbish our mall, we constantly be in the market to capture all these new trends. As long as you are relevant, as long as you are still the top landlord of choice in the marketplace, there is still business for us to do. What the online has helped us in terms of the landlord is there are a lot of new technologies that we can embrace, and these are some of the things that we have built into our operational I would say the operational process for us to better understand our catchment people. Knowing them better, you know what to sell them. You know what is their preferences, what do they like, when to capture their attention. So all this, you also start to see the landlord having building up this kind of database. So the CapitaStar platform is actually to build this kind of ecosystem for us as landlord to connect with our retailers and our shoppers. So if this healthy ecosystem of data analytics and the information can flow very efficiently, there's still a lot of business for us to do. Yeah.
Any more questions? Okay, no more questions. Thank you for coming to CRCT Result Briefing.
Okay, thank you everybody. I'll hang around for a while. Yep, thank you.